Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You all know that I love a little econ talk, especially when it is so important to each and every one of us and the bottom line for the middle class. Remember the number 51 trillion? We're working on buttons. They'll be here soon. 51 trillion, the amount of money that has been stolen from the bottom 90% by the top 1% since 1981. The big brutal bill, Donald Trump's tariff terror, all making it worse. But we got some interesting economic news today, and I'm very happy to be joined by Bharat Ramamurthy, Senior Advisor for Economic Strategy at the American Economic Liberties Project and former Deputy Director at Biden's National Economic Council. Welcome back to the show. We spoke last probably way back in October. Appreciate you making time, Bharat. Here, the Bureau of Labor Statistics put out the Consumer Price Index report for last month. That's the CPI. If you're not a nerd like Bharat and I are, that's basically an inflationary measure. And inflation looked to be holding steady in May. Thank goodness, I'll say that. And of course, what occurred then was a bunch of spiking of footballs and celebrations all over Fox Business and Fox News saying, see, nothing to worry about the tariffs here. Is it that simple, Bharat?
No. So you're totally right that the report from last month was cooler than expected, as we would say, yes. Meaning that inflation had risen less than people projected it to. Its prices still went up as they do, but they went up less quickly than people were anticipating. So that's good news. Generally speaking, when you have lower inflation, not only does that mean people are paying lower, facing lower price increases, but it's also often a cue for the Federal Reserve to start cutting interest rates, which is another key way of stimulating the economy. The thing here, and the thing that is making it complicated for the Fed, is that the full weight of the Trump tariffs have not filtered their way down into the economy yet. And that may seem surprising to people because it feels like a long time ago that Trump announced that he was going to do these tariffs. But of course, that was quickly followed by a variety of pauses and delays. And then there was a court case that stated, all of which is to say, we are now just entering the period in which the tariffs are actually going to start biting, and importers are going to be facing higher costs for bringing goods into the United States. And then again, it will take an additional amount of time for those higher costs for importers to then filter down into higher prices for consumers showing up in the inflation report. So my projection would be that those price increases will be coming in the second half of the year.
Second half of the year. And just some additional color on what our special guest this afternoon, Bharat Ramamurthy, shared with us. That on again, off again of the tariffs, both the Trump taco effect, where he just chickens out when things start to get really bad and all the billionaires call him and say, hey, you're costing me money. There's that. There was also, again, a trial court decision that said Donald Trump's trumped up economic, quote, emergency was no such thing. He can't do the tariffs because he doesn't have those emergency powers. That then got put on pause by a federal appeals court. And today the Supreme Court kept that pause in place. Those are all interim decisions with much more to come in the litigation sphere. Again, adding to the uncertainty. And Bharat, I just wanted to ask this. I have no idea what the point of any of this tariff terror is. I have yet to hear a single cogent pod administration. I watch Scott Bessent twist himself into pretzels on various shows because he's not an idiot. I hear Howard Lutnick, the Secretary of Commerce, say all kinds of nonsense because he is an idiot and has absolutely no economic literacy whatsoever. Where are we going? What has been the point of all of this? And if we don't know what the point is, where does the uncertainty end? Because what the market's like, what the stock market likes, what business owners like, and what consumers like on the aggregate is stability and some level of predictability. And we've got absolutely the opposite of that. And I don't know how any of this gets unwound. And of course, folks, we'll talk about whether or not there actually is a China deal. Hint, there's not. But step, because I literally have no idea.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on the key point here, which is that depending on the day honestly, depending on the hour, the rationale for the tariffs changes. You know, when they were first announced, some of them were on Canada and Mexico, and Trump and his team were saying that this is going across the border. It's about securing cooperation from those border countries to stop those inflows. So not a trade-based rationale. And then, you know, with other countries, it was they have very high tariffs, but then he would impose tariffs on countries that don't have high tariffs. So it was all internally contradictory. And as you said, if you are in the business community and you're trying to plan for the second half of this year for next year, and obviously a big factor is how expensive are the things that I need to import that I'm then going to use to either sell directly to Americans, or, you know, I use it to manufacture some other larger product that I sell to Americans. How much are those things going to cost? And your cost could be 10%, 20%, 30% higher, depending on the day. And there's no clear explanation for, okay, in 3 months they're going to come down, or in 6 months they're going to come down, or I know that they'll come down as long as country X agrees to the following set of conditions.
Yeah, we hit this goalpost, then they'll come down. There's just no objective, so it makes planning for business owners very difficult, if not impossible, if they've got supply chains that rely on imports or they themselves rely on exporting their finished product goods. Is that a fair?
I think it hurts in two different ways. So number one, the uncertainty about tariffs means that if you are a business that is importing items that you sell to Americans, or again, intermediate goods that you then use to produce other goods that you sell, you sort of have to raise your prices in order to account for the fact that there are going to be higher tariffs. And even if there are down ultimately in July or August or September, strikes down some of these tariffs, there are other legal authorities that Trump can use to impose other forms of tariffs. So you're not sure, you're basically going to be in a position where you have to preemptively be raising prices to account for the fact that some of the things that you're importing are going to go up. And it's not clear what would give you enough certainty to say, I'm going to bring those prices back down. The other big thing is all of this, supposedly, is to promote more investment in American manufacturing.
Right.
if you want to avoid these tariffs, make it in America. That's a thing that I support. But again, imagine if you are an investor and you're sitting on a pile of money and you're deciding whether to make an investment in a new factory in the United States. And as of today, there is a tariff on, I don't know, washing machines that are imported into the United States. And you say, you know what? Because imported washing machines are more expensive, that means that American-made washing machines are going to be a better deal. So I might invest in an American washing machine manufacturing. But you can't just snap your fingers and start manufacturing American washing machines. It's a multi-year, multi-million dollar investment that you're making. And it could get back in 6 months or a year. How are you going to go ahead and make a multi-million dollar five-year commitment to build in America? You can't.
You won't.
Because all
yeah.
of a sudden the economics change. So that's why you've seen it in all the data that there has been a freeze in investment. Rather than seeing an increase in investment, like
it's
you
doing
saw
the opposite.
In the last administration, yeah. there's been a complete pullback where people who have been making plans to invest in American manufacturing are stopping that because they're saying the uncertainty makes it impossible for me to project what my costs are going to be, and I can't make an investment under these conditions.
And to be fair, I've heard many business owners say, listen, if I had to reestablish manufacturing in the United States, that's going to take a long time because I can't pay U.S. going labor rates. So I'd be looking to automate different processes. I mean, there's all of this multi-year process. None of this is bringing manufacturing back to the United States. It is at best a square peg in a round hole when it comes to border security and fentanyl. Let's talk for a minute. Folks, if you're just joining us, I am joined this half hour by Bharat Ramamurthy. He's the senior advisor for economic strategy at the American Economic Liberties Council Project, and the deputy director at Biden's National Economic Council. So I'm a member of the media, Bharat, but sometimes I get so very angry because nearly every account that I have read about Donald Trump's announcement of some sort of progress with China, I think is basically inadequate because if I remember correctly, there's nothing new at all. It's an agreement to revert to their other agreement, which was an agreement to agree and a pause basically on escalating the trade war. I want to make sure, if me slamming through all the news today and reading as much as I could, if that's accurate, they paused the escalation back in Geneva a number of months ago. And the Geneva agreement, again, was a pause plus a, yes, we'll continue negotiating and here are some general pillars of the negotiation. That's all Lutnick got in London with the Chinese. We'll agree to abide by that other agreement that was an agreement to agree. Or did I misread that?
No, I think that's accurate and well said. It's basically it's like one of those Russian nesting dolls where each time you open one of them, it's just a smaller plan to keep negotiating, but there's no actual substance there. And it's important to, if you just take a step back and say, are the tariffs between China and the United States higher today than they were when Donald Trump came into office? The answer is yes, in both directions. The tariff on the things that Americans import from China and the tariff on things that we export to China, a lot of which is agricultural products. So farmers who are
in
growing
Wisconsin.
Soybeans and yeah. other goods, China's a big market for those. And if the Chinese tariffs are 30-40%, what's happened in the past, what happened honestly during Trump term, is that when those tariffs are put in place, if you put yourself in the Chinese purchasers who are saying, if I have to buy these goods, these soybeans from America, I'm paying 50% more than I was before. Well, I'm going to look elsewhere to buy those soybeans.
Yeah.
And the sad truth is that once those purchasers abroad make a switch, it's hard to get them back.
Yeah, the relationship. Once that relationship, those shipping channels are reestablished with another supplier, they may be gone forever, maybe not able to be undone. I'm going to talk about this cascading, exponentially increasing impact of all of the Trump chaos and Trump terror when it comes to the economy, because it's not about one thing. It's about all of these things together and how they ultimately will pinch and exploit the middle class for no particular good gosh darn reason. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media Radio with more. And